Hey, welcome to the podcast called
Dogs Are Smarter Than People.
This is a podcast where we talk about writing tips, random weird thoughts to start us off that make no sense to anyone, and
how mean Sean is to Carrie, usually.
Oh no, that's true. So hey, thanks for being here with us.
Yes, thank you very much. We hope you chuckle at least one time.
One time. Hey.
What's up, baby?
Welcome to our podcast.
Woo-hoo!
I'm just so stressed.
Isn't it a beautiful day outside?
It's beautiful. Here in Maine. Here in Maine.
Super beautiful.
But, like, you know, is it a beautiful day?
In your heart?
In my heart.
Yes, it is, actually.
Okay.
Three positives now. At least. I might have lost count.
So today we found a news random thought item.
Yeah.
And it's about a murder suspect who had been on the run for months, according to the NPR story.
Right? Yeah.
By Rachel Trisman. So.
I bet she does try, man.
Oh, come on. That's so fucking rude. Oh.
I didn't mean it even naughty. I meant it as like mentally trying.
I think we need to start this over now.
No way.
I think we should start
We have to. You know what? You know how sometimes like a toy will be super valuable because only three were minted by mistake or something?
That's what this podcast episode is.
Yes, because you cussed right in the beginning with a good F-bomb.
And you are so rude. You were so rude.
I've worked so many years to get Carrie to be able to say the F word properly.
And he does it by his rudeness and his sexism.
She just did it.
Rude sexist. Oh my God. That poor woman.
I think she's probably had fabulous.
She's probably an amazing human being.
That's right.
Who's been bullied all her damn life because of her last name, and you just did it again.
Oh no, I prefer to think that I'm the first one smart enough to ever come up with that.
Why would you want to be a bully, baby?
I don't want to be a bully.
What a bully is. You're making fun of someone. You're making fun of her just because of her name. This wonderful.
Maybe people shouldn't have called me Fart Rar so many times when I was a kid.
I was Saint Bernard.
We'll see. It happens to the best of us.
Alright, we've wasted all our time. Anyways, the point here is that there was a story by Rachel. Last name.
Tremont.
Anyways. And in this story, she says that authorities got a lucky break when the murder suspect they'd been pursuing for months fell, so to speak, into their laps through the ceiling of the building where he'd been hiding.
How long have you been up there?
I don't know. But this kid is like 20 years old, this poor kid. And he's been, he's a criminal, but whatever. I mean, he killed someone.
Allegedly.
We need to just stop doing this podcast because we're going to get in trouble and there's all this noise outside right now.
I know, they fired up the stuff across the street again.
Okay, so, anyways, this kid...
Should I close your window?
No, let's just do the freaking pot. Oh my God.
But I'm having so much fun.
I'm not. Wow, that's
baby,
nice.
What do you say?
Say, where are the divorce papers? So, the U.S. Marshals caught this kid. I'm not going to use his name, but he basically was charged with murder and reckless endangerment. It was first-degree murder, and he was wanted in connection to a shooting in Memphis, Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
So, they find him at a residence in Memphis, but they, like, go inside, and he was trying to hide in the attic.
Yeah.
And as they were searching the home, he fell through the ceiling.
That's fantastic.
Can you imagine, like, you're searching and this guy just falls through the ceiling?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and, like, if this kid did this, it's horrible because he shot a man and the man died and a woman got injured and... He was one of three people arrested in connection with the incident. But can you imagine he fell right, boom.
That's awesome.
What timing, like, noisiness,
Is that him in the picture?
I don't know if that's him or not, because I don't know, man. But it's like, I don't know, why not, that's
Yeah. No, that's one of the other guys. That's
one of the other guys. So anyways, it's kind of sad, isn't it? Like,
it's cool.
Like, the whole thing is really sad, but the weirdness is cops come looking for you, hide up in the attic,
and then fall into their face.
I bet one of those cops is like, oh, my hair is so dirty now.
Yeah. He got an ass whooping for getting their clothes all dusty. Now the fun stuff.
You're so mean.
What?
So this is about the absolutely simplest plot structure ever. So a lot of writers I teach get really freaked out about structure, and they go on multiple craft book journeys trying to find the structure that resonates with them, the one that gives them the beautiful aha moment of this is how their story should be structured, and who can blame them, right? Because we all want that beautiful aha moment.
Right.
Sorry. Like, oh, fall through the ceiling. Aha, there's the criminal. So, these authors, like myself, we learn about pinch points, rising action, falling action, subplots, inciting incidents, midpoints, themes, narrative arc, blah, 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 hamster zombies. And they, like, we just start hyperventilating because there's so much, right? Like, it's so complex and it can be really overwhelming. And there's not a reason to hyperventilate if this way of looking at writing structure doesn't work for your brain. We all have different brains, right? And some people love that, and some people it's like, too much. You can simplify it all a lot, and there's no hamster zombies involved.
Can I ask a question?
No.
I don't mean to draw this podcast up.
You really do, because we have so much other work to do.
In my brain, this is how I see when you talk about things like this, like, things that are, like, standardized, so to speak. You have, like, in my brain, you have the authors that are wearing a beret, and they're, like, the Picassos of writing, and they're pondering plot structures and stuff. And then you have people that just don't give a crap. And they're like, I'm gonna write.
Yeah.
And sometimes those people are just, like, fantastically successful.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that's on purpose, or is it really just that I don't give a crap and I'm gonna throw my purposefully ignoring standardized like structure.
I think some people might be purposefully ignoring it, but I think also like it's like the more you know, the more you don't know. Wait, the more you whatever. Like the
more you don't know, the more you know.
Like the more you learn, the more you realize, oh my gosh, I don't know this, and I don't know this, and I don't know this. So I think with some people, they just don't even realize that there is anything to learn. You know, like it's not necessarily that they're not learning on purpose. It's just that they're like, oh, I didn't know there were kind of typical mathematical formulas related to writing or like standards or anything like that. I just thought there was a story. And those people are kind of intuitively using this simplest structure choice.
Oh, look at that. So, I fed right back into the thing.
I fed right back into the thing. So here is the simplest structure choice. Ready? You can read it, baby.
You have a character. That's number one. Number two, your character has a problem. Let everyone reading know they have a problem.
Sean is the problem.
Now, you know, I held back.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, number three. How will they solve it?
Number four, make them try to solve it.
Number five, make them fail.
Number six, make them try to solve it again.
Number seven, make them fail again.
Number eight, do this until near the end of your story, like about three quarters and like through, right?
Yep.
And make everything seem absolutely hopeless right there.
And I forgot what number we on, but let them solve the damn problem.
And then let them rejoice. Give them a moment of rejoicing at the end. Don't make the end too fast.
So that's the ride off into the sunset moment.
Yeah, man.
Huh?
That's a big long kissy. Oh, everybody loves each other moment. So how many times should your character try? Well, in our Western culture, like we like the number three. For some reason, and I'm personally more of a fan of number four, but we authors tend to give the main character three big attempts to solve their issues before we let them succeed, because we're mean like that. Would you like to read this part about making it tougher?
Make it tougher. We call this the rising action, but basically it means that each time they try to fix things, It should be harder. There should be more at risk. They should be more desperate and emotionally invested. We, the readers, should also be more invested as it goes along. When the attempt fails, the tension gets a bit mellower until it rises again even higher for the second and third attempts. It becomes a pattern.
You're a lot today. So that's it. That's the simplest plot structure ever, really. It's just, like, super simple, but it works. And I didn't mention the inciting incidents and the midpoints and all those other things because this is, once again, simple plot structure, right?
Keyword, simple.
But don't forget that even with the simplest of plot structures, the point of the story is to make it have sense. So when your character does something, let there be consequences that logically move us to the next part of the story. Remember cause and effect when you're a little kid?
Like, yeah.
If you eat the cookie, all the cookies, you get a bellyache.
That's right.
That's important to us writers, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, bellyache.
That didn't happen to me until I got much older. Door tip for life. So Poggy says she's very well acquainted with that simple plot structure. Try, fail. The reason Carrie likes four try fails is because she usually makes Poggy.
Oh, really?
Try and fail four times.
He's lying.
Before she finally gets up away from her important work and gets Poggy that dog treat that she's been begging for.
I think you're talking more about other things, but okay.
Oh, no, that'd be six. Currently, I'm only successful on the seventh day of the week. That means once a week for you folks that are paying attention.
Keep trying.
Which is so far off from 2 to 3 times a day.
Keep trying.
But anyways.
That's the dog point.
Keep trying. Eventually, you're going to get that treat.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. All the podcast notes are on Living Happy on Substack or CarrieJonesBooks.blog. The awesome music was available via the Creative Commons and it's been clipped. There's someone singing outside the window right now.
But they're not singing our song.
But that is Broke for Free and the song is Summer Spliff.
Everybody's favorite.
I wish. I'd probably be less cranky.
Yes, you would be less cranky.